get that spirit out. I'm going to talk about affection today, but I want you to go with us to the first 101 of the book of Psalms. Sister Hunt, you all right? Yeah, that's great. Stay that way. I'll start at verse number 2. Dr. Crystal, are you all right? The lab's okay? Any parasitical demons running around in your lab? No? They're all under the refrigerator being cooled out? You don't know? You don't know? Okay. I will, verse 2, behave myself wisely. Stick with me, go with me. Seeking will get something out. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. There are some things that we don't need, even in our homes, that we may be better without. This is not scare tactics. It's awareness tactics. What troubles me is, and I am now in Colossians 3 and 1, what troubles me about Christendom in general is that all of the stuff, the issues that we have allowed to infiltrate into the church's atmosphere. Every young person need to get all the God that they can get into them as soon and as young as possible. Don't come in with a whole lot of junk that you have participated in and have to fight over and remember after you get here, because you'll find that there'll be pandemonium and chaos within your heart and mind. I'm going in a different direction, but I feel that it's essential. Remember thy Creator when? When what? You can't come in here once you've done a lot of junk and expect to feel free. You've done them already. Then you come in trying to straighten out everybody else after you've done it. There are young people like Satchel Jr. don't need to be told and hear you standing up and talking when I was out there in the street doing this, that, and the other. They don't need that. And if I can get this through your head, that if you shut up, they won't hear about it. People don't need to hear about the junk that you. Sister Cody, you all right? You got a glove on your hand? You Michael? Oh, okay. Nobody needs to hear about all the stuff you have been doing when you didn't know the Lord, or even if you knew the Lord and didn't do it the way God wanted to join. Understand? Nobody needs to hear that. Young people don't need to hear that. Let the young people enjoy their infancy as much as possible. Praise the Lord. I was out there and I did it. I don't want to hear that. This is the mother consolation. Don't even come mentioning of the devil. Slap yourself in the mouth before I do it. Okay? Nobody needs to hear what you have done before you give yourself to the Lord completely. It's not advantageous. You see, sometimes we think, especially again in the church, preachers in particular, you don't get too much of it around here, because I was the biggest drunk. I did more drunk. I had more drugs than me to kill 10 men. And then all the drunkies in them. Yeah, Sister Chestnut? Ooh, well, I got some hope, because I haven't had enough to kill 10 men. I only had 7 women. You see what I'm trying to say? You got out there, you put your stuff out there, you run your mouth. It wasn't wise to be said. It's not advantageous. You don't need to understand that. Why don't you think that the Lord is able to keep me in perfect peace? If my mind is stayed on Him, why what? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to trust Him. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to try to forget all the junk, because sometimes Pop Willie Apostle comes through and you, ooh, like, do you know Apostle Pop Willie? No. Just because you knew him and what other junk that you were, doesn't make me, the young people here, the young folks that are coming in, feel that they would be better if they decide to be like Pop Willie. Okay? That's your mindset. Your children don't need to hear it. Act like you never met Pop Willie. And I'll tell you something else. There's a lot of folks. Maybe you just ain't be just Pop Willie. But you never got to that level. They didn't travel in those streets. They didn't travel in those circles. They didn't walk those minefields. There's a lot of folks in the world did not try everything that they thought they were big, bad, and brazen enough to do. Praise the Lord. Sometimes they had parents that probably told them, if you do this, you're going to kill you. And you believed them, and it was better off, right? You never found out that maybe they wouldn't kill you. But it made you believe it, that they might just be telling you the truth. And if they kill you, you wouldn't do anything about it. Yeah. Some of us believe our parents. Our parents told us a lot of stuff. You know, maybe it didn't make sense now because you don't believe it. Back in those days, your parents made you believe that they would kill you. Hello? And I believe them. That's why I think I'm alive today, because I never challenged them. Okay. Third chapter of Colossians. It says, if you then, there's a question, a possibility. But if ye then be risen with Christ, not dead and stay dead, but if you are risen with Christ, if you believe in the resurrection of Christ, if you rise with Christ, you're not dead anymore. Hello? He says that we should seek those things, since you are alive and arrived, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He said in verse 2 that we should set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. He said, because you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we be. We shall also appear with Him in glory. So I'd like to talk a little about affection. In a very difficult way to talk about affection in a society that we're living in, when we only know a lot about lust. There are issues about affection that I may raise your awareness to, and some of it's vile affection. A vile affection is what our society is inundated by. Let's do this, let's go here, let's try the other. And therefore, you can only be somebody if you try this vile affection. There is natural affection. Some things that we don't think too much about in our society. And then there is inordinate affection. Praise the Lord. So we like a makes you aware that there are some things in the church, and the church is designed for this, to keep you from the stuff that you might want to dive in and then not get delivered from. I need devil malevolence, let your mind be delivered because it went and got involved. That devil is something else. He will entice you with vile affection, inordinate affection. Once you've done it, then he won't let you forget about it. I wonder if somebody in here can understand what I'm talking about. I wonder how many people can hear that. I wish I hadn't done that. Honest, just for a little while. I may not teach you, I may not preach to you, I may not scream at you. Praise the Lord. But you see, I've learned, I'm still learning, that if we realize why these things are written for our admonition, that I can avoid some of the slippery slopes of life. Praise the Lord. I find that folk who have taken the slippery slope of life come into the church looking for others who have similar experience so they can bond with, get with, be a part of, so they can all enjoy each other. And if that is the intention of the adversary, I think there should also be that segment of our church life where somebody that did not get into that, Sister Russell, would want to bond with that group that don't know what taking drugs. I don't have to fight with that demon. Hallelujah. I don't have to fight with that demon because I never took, I never smoked marijuana, I never did this, I never did that. I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, I'm just trying to share with young people that if people can come in, the devil can come in and destroy your relationship with your God. There should also be somebody in here that since I have been risen with Christ, I am going to do what the Bible says, seek. So it's not easily accessible if you don't want to seek. When I look at the audience and I see some people that don't want to be here, can't, don't have the love of God in them, it troubles me. Why it troubles me? Because not that I have a Bible, but if we had the Word in us like we should, you may want to claim the Holy Ghost. But the Bible tells me, praise the Lord, forsake not. And I do not get up and challenge when the Bible says don't do it to find out the consequences if I did. If I am not here, then I got to be letting the devil program my mind to make me satisfied with the lesser when I already have the greater. Praise the Lord. How sweet it is, the Bible says, and pleasant it is for brethren to what? See, we won't have to come into church in a fight, be suspicious, to live together in what? Unity. So I need some affection. I need godly affection. I don't need a lustful and natural and ordinary affection. I don't need somebody to tell me how much sex they got and how great it was. I need somebody to say the Lord kept me and brought me from a mighty, mighty long ways. There is something about me that as I observe people that it stimulates. I don't come into church looking for a buddy.
When I got
healed, that was my buddy. You're not going to kick me out of my joy because nobody can treat me like Jesus. I don't come in looking for someone that I can bond with so we can form a clan. I come in here looking for Jesus, and that's enough. Oh, when I think about where he brought me from and how he brought me here, I find myself rejoicing in the God of my salvation. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody can make me feel like Jesus. I don't find nothing else in anyone else like I find in Jesus. So I can understand how Paul would write the letter at Colossae and tell them that if you don't know this, if you never, if you then be risen with Christ.
The only way you can be risen with Christ, you have to learn how to repent from the old man, the stuff that you were born in,
where you came from, what your mother's name, what you did, your father, and your sisters, and your brothers, and your loved ones, and acting out your ethnicity. You have to learn if you then be risen with Christ. And then nothing in this world is going to entice me that I have to go out. See, I let them have their Super Bowl. I'm not going to get so excited about the Super Bowl. I don't know what Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell if you do. Praise the Lord. I know that the people that are going down there, they seem to have some antidotes and some other kind of dope and other kind of stuff to be dopey. You understand what I'm saying? So apparently it's not the bowl that's going to make them excited. What they need is Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't like a whole lot of the gospel junk that folks who don't have much depth in Christ going to tell me how to get deeper in Christ. They don't do nothing for me, and I'm old, and I know that. I've been there a long time, and I want to share that with you because I'm not coming expecting some new kid on the block with some new stuff that ain't working for them to make me feel good. I don't get turned on by that. I get turned on by the Word. If I then be risen with Christ, I would know how to teach it. Those things that would make me happy. Get these other things and you'll be going here, you'll be trying this, you'll be trying that, you'll be trying the other. But you'll never, ever be happy. Otherwise, you will have to keep seeking. Bible didn't say seek those things that are on the earth, but seek those things which what? Are above. Only reason I can find what's on the has to get back in the book. Hello? Yes, I've got to get back in the book. He says, and when I get there, then I set my affection on them. There are things that you can learn naturally that you can apply spiritually. If you've had a wonderful experience and you want to set your affection on those wonderful experiences, see, they will be with you for quite some time. If you get temporary joy, it's going to wean out, it's going to go. Hallelujah. But if you get this joy that the world exists in, hallelujah. All I have to do is think on the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me. My soul tried to get up my body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what? Saving me. If you've ever been saved like that, you have some problems. And nothing in this world can save you like Jesus. So I'm going to set my affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Quite emphatic and quite clear. No joint is going to stimulate and save me and keep me from feeling guilt. No joint. Again, I get sick and tired of the joints that I have to take when I go to the doctor. Okay? For the levity of visiting us today. See? Praise the Lord. I don't like doctor joints. I don't care how many of you are here. See, I found in my life that so many doctors put some joints in you, even in a prescription. Afterwards, you go to life. Come on. Ooh, I thought you said you wasn't going to bother. You become accustomed to it. Afterwards, you don't have no confidence in God and the Word. Right. You begin to want some more joints. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor. The Bible says you need a hold on you to go to the doctor. A lot of us need this. But sometimes they ain't helping the doctors. The doctor's got jointitis. What's the other kind of itis they said in the commercial? What was that? The doctor's got jointitis. Yeah, every time it turns around, doctors always want to give you some more stuff. Stick in, help you overcome. Look, Doc,
They don't even ask you how long the pain's been there.
They don't want to trust God to see whether it goes away. They don't know whether it's figment of your imagination. They want to give you some more drugs to get in your system. Praise the Lord, so you can. Sometimes when you come to church like this and I talk like I'm talking, you become frustrated. I don't need another fix. I'm in a bad enough state of mind already. You see, I am a firm believer the side effects of the stuff sometimes last so long. Do so much damage until I cannot recover. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody. I'm just trying to share with you. See, joints from the doctor are just like joints from the society. It cuts your trust in God. Hello. And after a while, some things go by fasting and praying, but you can't hold out too fast because they keep some direction on the outside of the bottle. Hello. Every 4 hours, take one of these. Every 3 hours, take one of these. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Hill? And after a while, this becomes a lifestyle with you. And your body is trying to compensate and trying to manipulate. And therefore, you've grown accustomed to taking this stuff. And whenever the time comes, since it has been sufficient yet, you feel that you have to get another pulsation. And the medicine is pulsation. There are things that you learn about God that's been working before I got here and ever since I've been here, that when you do it like God says, do it, there are so many more side effects of benefit that you get and derive from it. So you can understand what he meant when he says that you should set those things which are from above. Praise the Lord. Right now, from the day a child is born and before the child gets here, everybody is getting some stuff into the child. Am I wrong about that? Your mother, praise the Lord, is being overly endowed with different kinds of drugs. You got to take this for the pre, you got to take this for the after, and the child's all doped up, and the child comes out dopey, and then we have to fight with the children and the spirit that's in the child, because all of those stuff that's in the child that was not put there by the Lord. So we have now taken over the immune system in the child, and the child can't function. Get mad? Stick with me. Let's get together. I'm talking about the godly affection today. Praise the Lord. If we learn then how to walk with God like we should walk with the Lord, then the Word would be our affection. Praise the Lord. See, some of us are born, have seen in us, haven't done much for us since we've been here. What do you mean by that? If I were to ask somebody today, what is your prognosis, or what is your diagnosis of such and such thing, you would tell me what the doctor said, boom, boom, boom. I think a lot of people say, your brother, the doctor told me I'm supposed to be dead by the time I got two. You know, you didn't understand the kind. Other doctors talk in such a high prolific, political terminology, and then you understand even if you were, praise the Lord, not that they understand either, but they just like to throw things off and press you. You still go to Dr. Christie? Sometimes you go to a doctor, you ought to make him pay, or her pay, for your treatment. Why is that?
How does it feel? We'll do the treatment. Dr. Christie.
I don't know why you say
that. Well, then, since you were so intellectual, and you are, I'm going to say it in a language where you all can get it. When the doctor gets to explain it to you in their medical terminology, you didn't get any from it. You don't understand what they're talking about. They call all everything in you from a different term that you've grown familiar with, and you come out as ignorant as you were, and more so before you went. If something's wrong with my finger, sure she's coming. All your philanthropists are doing such things. The Siberian, the Tiberius, and the boom. I ain't going all over the country to these continents to find out what's wrong with my finger. Stop talking to me in my language. I came to you so that you can give me some instruction about what's wrong with my finger. So tell me what's wrong with my finger so I can get some medicine if I need the medicine. Praise the Lord. Rather than telling me about all of those medical terminology, I will not benefit from when I leave because I can't remember the terms. But when my affection is set on God, sometimes in my finger hurt, I can say, Lord Jesus, it hurts now, but I know. It's not this. I know because I trust in you, it won't hurt long. Hallelujah. I don't know how you trust your God, but I know it won't hurt long because I trust in you. Praise the Lord. Well, I can go down and give you some cortisone shots and some things that can minimize. Now, wait a minute. When you put the clinical in you, where does it go? Well, this is for the finger. And the other one's going to be for the head, and the other one's going to be for the stomach, and the other one's going to be, where does it go? It got to go all through the whole system. Affect the whole thing. So when you come up, you got stuff that you never had, you know, I'm going through something, the doctor said, they're trying to shrink this. I can tell they're shrinking. He's not been shrinking that. Shrinking this, that, these, those, and the other. It's designed to shrink. Medicine not smart enough to take the route that's just going to directly to that to shrink. I can hear now my hearing ain't as sharp as it used to be because shrinking the nerves in the ears. And that's a, I don't care what you say the pharmaceutical people talking about. I'm talking about, hello. Hello. It affects your eyes. Have you ever been to the drugstore and bought some medicine and asked? Sometimes it's so small, print it until you can read it. Hello? And the terms are so unproportionate until you don't understand it. You have to almost get a medical book to go through with it, and then you get tired because you can't consume it all the time, or else you just have to stay. And sometimes you get something else better, you make something else worse. Am I picking on the doctor? No, I'm just trying to get your affection. Any man be sick, let him call for. And the prayer of faith shall. What was wrong with that when God put it in the Word? What was wrong when God put it in the Word? Should that be first? Now, the woman that had an issue of blood, and after he spent money for many years, and still bent over and couldn't get anything done, praise the Lord, she heard that Jesus was coming that way. She says, if I can do what? I know I can. Some things you have to know that it can help. After she suffered many things from many physicians, the Bible says she begins to trust in Jesus. And the throng and the multitude that are gathered round about him, because her affection was set on Jesus. And she said within herself and not to the crowd, I've been going on through this for a long time. But Deacon Satchel, if I can just make it. Look upon this woman as one that's frail in her body, weakened by her medication. Praise the Lord. Discouraged and despondent along the way, but she had her affection set on the right thing. And she says, if I can just touch. If I can just only touch Jesus this morning. I believe that if you have the same mind, you can get some results. I'm not trying to make you cheap, and I'm not trying to tell you that you can save money. I'm just trying to show you where your affection should be when things are going wrong with thee. I think my wife was ill earlier middle of last year, and she took some medicine called prednisone. And that medicine began to precipitate, proliferate, make her grow until she had tried to find somewhere to get back off that medicine. and this is going to be something for the rest of your life and all that kind of crazy. You don't need no doctor to tell you that you're going to be growing pulsating and all kind of stuff like that for the rest of your life. Now we can't get it down here, but Dave, hallelujah. I'd like to find where blood of Jesus is. Huh? Oh, not trying to get back to where I should be if I could see and avoid that from the first place. If you had some experience and had some documentary, you should have told me in the beginning that this is going to do this to you, and then let me choose. Praise the Lord. Don't get funny. Look at me a little different there on Dr. Christie. I want you to understand. Praise the Lord. If it's not going to give me a desire, why have to fight to get back when you could just ease me into it in the first place so I won't have to go there? If it's a proven fact, why should I have to blossom and develop? If you know it's going to bring me there, Lord. We didn't cut down on the pharmaceutical, we didn't cut down on the many legal fees. Sometimes, if we just learned how to trust in Jesus, praise the Lord, and we learned when we get this affection for the Lord, it's the same thing as passion. We can be passionately attracted to the Lord. Hello. And if you get your passion strong enough in the Lord, you won't be looking for some flesh to give you some gratification to drive you back. No meaning of that here. Hello, y'all still here?
Amen.
I don't know. God can stop the progress of the demons in the mind if you learn how to say, I'm going to trust Him. Take my chances with God. Somebody says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have to plead with you to do what the word says you should do. Hello. I ask questions to let you know that I realize you're not here and what you should be doing. But those kinds of things doesn't bother me because I learned how to trust in the Lord. The Lord says, don't, I don't. The Lord says, do, I do. Simple-minded is that. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't tell me that you can pick and choose and then afterwards something else not going to bother you outside of the church and outside of the word. Not when I got the word that's a proven fact and when everything else goes down and everything burns up, the word of God going to stand forever. I'd take my chance to God. Don't you understand, Sister Hawkins? Thank you, Jesus. This is a month of dedication. This is a month of consecration. This is a month of restoration. Sister Hunt, you just got in here. You weren't here last year about this time. So I think this is a good month. This is a good time. Hallelujah. Sweetness comes from God. Emanates from God. Power. Put ye in Jerusalem and tarry until what? God said, don't leave before it gets there. Praise the permission. Don't leave before it comes. Don't walk around trying to find out somebody how you're going to feel when it gets there so you can mimic. These are not Andy's and Oscars passed out to people that come to church to be inquisitive about what they can get, the shortcut. No, no, no. I believe, Sister Chestnut, if I believe in God with all of my heart, soul, and mind, He would give me the desires of my heart because He's an affectionate God. Hallelujah. No, don't you come around telling me that if you get a little, Sister Michelle says, a bubble come over, then you will feel better.
You don't need bubble. Huh? Hello. I
don't need bubble now, Sister.
Praise the Lord. I don't want bubble eyes, sister. I'm be bubbling, feeling with bubble. Because bubble, more than likely, he ain't got God in him. He don't talk a lot of junk, but he got time to worry. And the sister, praise the Lord, bubble and sister, if he didn't show up to me, he'd drive me back. Hello. So why should I invite Bubba over? Bubba can't help himself.
Shut up. Praise the Lord. Hear what I got to say. I know what I'm saying is not interesting to you, but okay. Maybe one day. Praise. You don't understand who Bubba is. You don't understand who his sister is either. Praise the Lord. You're doing what you're doing, what's important to you, I don't blame you. But either way, since I'm here, I might as well do something. Praise the Lord. Right now, I'm trying to teach you how to get your affection, where to get your affection, how to love the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, so when he's old, he will not depart. You need to get your children and your treated with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Then you will begin to feel that if I get 25 children, that will make me happy. How are you going to take 25 children to make you happy when one ain't making you sad? Hello. I'm not going to ask you to show me no fingers or who's sad because of that one. Praise the Lord, because everybody, if you just had one, Dr. Willie Monkson is here now, he said, if you just had one, you, yeah? And I tell you something else. If your mama just had one and that's you, you made her sad. We expect you to be nice to us. Praise the Lord. But I'm just trying to share with you. You have to recognize that all of these antidotes and all of these equations and all of this stuff that folks are telling you that ain't working for them. But Jesus will. Hallelujah. That's why I encourage you to get the Lord, because these and this is not the time when folks want you to get the Lord. They want you to get the devil. The television teaches the devil. The books teaches the devil. The books that you want you to read in school teaches the devil. The teacher teaches you the devil in school. And the teaching with the kids after the church taught them the devil to behave my teacher in the class, and that ain't working. So I'm here to encourage you that in the book of Romans, how to get this thing to work right, verse 10. You guys should start in verse 9, 12th chapter, Romans. Getting the right kind of affection says this, let love be without dissimulation. And what I find in the church, that a lot of folks have a problem with this scripture. A lot of folks in church have a problem with this scripture. Dr. Christian, look at me a little funny. Because they don't want it to be working without dissimulation. Maybe we don't know what dissimulation means. Hello. If the Bible says don't do it, let it be done without dissimulation, it must be something that will affect you wrongly if you do it. It'll cause some respect to a person. It'll cause you some ethnicity problems. It'll cause you some gender problems. It'll cause your love for the Lord to wane. Praise the Lord. It'll talk, you two will talk together and hurt each other. So the Bible says that you ought to let love, permit love, allow love to be done without what? Just allow it. Permit it. So that I don't have to love Brother Dixon and not love Dr. Critchlow. I don't love Brother Anson because he's my buddy. Never have I been in the holiness, praise the Lord, where I've allowed that demon to get in me. And when I see it in you, it troubles me, but I find out also I note you. Praise the Lord. You ain't going to get too close to me. Not when you do exactly what the Bible said don't do. Right, Sister Russell? If the Bible said don't do it, you're doing it. You ain't going to get too close to me because I can know what you're doing what the Bible says you shouldn't do. I'm not going to be so lonely till we have to go to the mall and see so. That's all. Now I'm doing cell phone every day. You have to come in, call me, trying to sell me some. No, even with my cell phone. See, people are just this. They pick and choose.
You know? How is that?
They're always looking for a better friend. They always look for somebody else they didn't bond with. They're always trying to find somebody they didn't hang with, as you folks say. So I don't allow you to manipulate me, to maneuver me to the point that I can. Once I identify you as one of those, I will give you your space. But sometimes I'm not getting my space in the first place. All right, Sister Ruff? I don't have to wean off, fight off, purge out, because I'm not going to let you get here with your stuff. Sister Liz, how long have you been in this church? Years. How many times have I called you? Not once. Boy, do I hate you. You get it? You understand? It's not her fault, it's mine. Praise God. I don't chat, don't gossip, don't backbite, don't try to find out, don't want to know things about her that she may find out that maybe being a good friend, she won't tell me, and I go out and spare the stuff. Do you understand? Don't need it. She don't need me. You say, what kind of pastor are you? Now, if she needs something, if she wants to say, you try to get together, we try to get it done, but I am not going to have it. You know, pastor called me at 1 minute after 12 every night. I'm not a vampire. Hello? See, sometimes you learn things through churches. Once upon a time, you try to be all things to everybody. You tell how to get no rest because they call you all the time at night. So, every time turn over, I was calling you. Where were you? I can't find you. Who are you? Where you been with? I'm not going to move back either. You're all kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. You can't sleep. They may have a heart attack, a panic attack at 3 minutes after 3 in the morning. And you might be on your second dream. If it's an emergency and you just died and someone will tell me you're through it. But even at that, I'll tell you, can you wait until later because you can't get them back? No. Otherwise, you're heading around the street all night, even doctors don't be sending health calls. But you can get yourself into in these kinds of firm mindset when you learn and you come to church and a lot of folks doing a lot of things. Therefore, you become a want to be a part of that. The Bible says that we should abhor some things. Some things we can hate. The word abhor means some things that you can hate. It's not good for your soul. What should you hate? Things that are evil. And how do you tell when things are evil? Come on, Sister Linda. You tell that the people that got evil in them. Because the devil needs somebody to work through. And therefore, they will get a hold of you. So there are two of you be nipping on the same. So I will not advise you to do what the Bible says you shouldn't do, and the Bible allow you this one, that you should hate that which is evil. The Bible says you should cling to that which is good. And God is good. You know what? I asked the people in the church once, and they got angry with me because every time they tell me something, I say God is good. You know what they turned it around?
There ain't nothing wrong with him. He's always going to tell you that God is good. Nobody feels that good all the time.
Especially if you're the one who helps us. You ever look at me for this?
Yeah. This is mad. But you know what? Even in my worst situation, when I can't move and pains are everywhere in my body, I can still say God is good. When my mind is troubled and I can't find the answer to all my associates and friends, I can say God is good. When my body don't know where to go and the doctors are trying to find out and they don't have no answers when it's going to get better, I can say God is good. Praise the Lord, when mama forsake me and father turn their back on me, I can say God is good. When I come to church like I'm coming this morning, trying to have fellowship with you, hallelujah, when I get together, we're not going to talk about bad things. You ask me what's the matter with me, I say God is good. Hallelujah. I keep on thinking about how good God is. After a while, it become my forte. It become my way of life. It become my expression. Hallelujah. So when I'm looking for a testimony, or when I'm looking for something to say, I can say God is good. There is no condemnation in talking about the Lord. Praise the Lord, because He is good. I'm not lying. Hallelujah. Job was able to express that kind of expression when he was, hallelujah, wrecked with pain, and his wife was trying to give him some bad advice. He said, surely the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we should grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. So when things going bad, sometimes you can't be running for to get them to grease you up and lay hands on your head. Sometimes the reason why you are like you are is because you don't got the wrong person to grease you up and lay hands on your head. Don't you know you can't let everybody be putting their hands on your head? You know why? Because some people come into church with this actor, and they see some other crazy preacher who just got loose from the penal system. Mm-hmm. And the Lord called them, and they raised 22 and a half people from the dead, and they come in to try and impress somebody, and this one died with chemo, and that one died from pneumo, praise the Lord. And they come into church, and they come to put some grease on their hand, they want to go in and lay hands on everybody. You can't let people, the Bible says that. You can't afford it. Some people think that makes me spiritual. No. Spiritual people don't try to impress somebody that they are spiritual. Right. That woman that saw, and that's where I started from, saw Jesus, praise the Lord, and she had heard about what he was doing. Praise the Lord. All she wanted to do was make contact with the man. Have you made contact with the man lately? Can you tell me how good he's been to you? Do you feel like he's still treating you? Do you think he's doing your dirty deal? Hallelujah. When you need to be in church, are you home sleeping? Are you went praise God with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, doing your stuff? Or have you been walking with the Lord? Praise the Lord. And so you can find him as a clock, setting your affection on things above, not on things beneath. Hallelujah. Where he can just give you what you need at the same time. And the other folks, they said, wasn't it good to be here? That's what they said. Praise the Lord. When there were just people who were walking disciples on the road to Emmaus, praise the Lord, and they saw Jesus, hallelujah. My God, as he ascended without any of the kind of stuff that they're using in modern technology, as he ascended, did not our heart burn within us? Why, he talked with us by the wayside. You don't need this funny old music, praise the Lord, to fool your mind and get your emotion. Need to be able to say, did not our hearts burn within us while he sat? Hallelujah. Dear Elder Hill, you need to know that. I hope you need to know that. Praise the Lord. That you can be all alone, but you're not alone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to run for somebody to get some connection. That when you're hooked up and connected up with the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can get bonded with the Lord, and every now and then he would stop by. He won't do like the doctor says. You got to come on down to the office. Huh? He wouldn't say that. Remind me of a sister that came to the church that talked to a simple-minded, weak brother that came to this church recently. She came, I got to go to the funeral of the undertaker so I can, because so many folks have been risen from the dead by me. And when I turned that word loose, hallelujah. Good thing we need her to raise from the dead, because she's been gone with her dead stuff. All kind of crazy folks in the church. Okay. Hello? Jesus didn't go off and nothing about the people. But you told some crazy preachers. Hello? Everybody's being raised from the dead. And every day you look in your obituary column, it's pulling and running over. I just think that somebody would cut a deal so they could have a little. Huh? Just keep us ready. Lying preacher! Hello? So she thought she was going to impress somebody. She wanted to teach you about the bread of life. Well, that's not what I said. Simple-minded people, ooh, she's got the bread of life. That must be some of that moldy bread that was coming from the Old Testament. Huh? All because you tell them the word, they get mad. Hallelujah. That's why Sister Augustine, I have to talk like I have to talk and say what I have to say, because it's just being inundated by crazy folk. Demons. Hello? The Lord knows because your boundaries are set. You understand, Sister Lulu? When time for you to go, it takes God to stop. Only God. You want to let these bagpiping preachers, they're all from Ireland, come tell you the Lord can heal anybody from that. Yeah. What's the point on the man to do what? After death, you had better get it right before you die. It's a judgment. If you stop living like the devil, sometimes you won't have to feel like you're being killed by the Lord. I'm sick and tired of these old quacker vagabonds and ministers that go around putting all kind of stuff in your head. Just came up with Sanballat and Tobiah. And they're in the church now trying to impress you because you know that you are gullible and won't take the word. Well, you see, let me get down there and I'm gonna recoup and regroup. If some of these preachers laid hands on me, Sister Lulu, and I was dead, and you were around, you should have passed and told me, never mind. He said he didn't want to come back. What'd you say, Lou? And that's the truth. Praise the Lord. And them other folks that come along, don't let them be laying hands on me either.
Because
they would knock the back
over.
You got some of these people?
Yeah.
Acting like they've got the twitch. They're spiritual. I got to let you all go. When you get your affection, when you get it like yours, when you love the Lord like you should. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. You don't need nobody trying to get you back when the Lord did give you some peace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody bring you back here to make you suffer when the Lord has taken you over. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. So you thank God for all that He does for you. But you've got to learn how to live with some peace on this side. Love on this side, and stop letting your lust try to drive up your must. M-U-S-K. Because that'll drive you berserk. Hey? You don't need your M-U-S-K driven up. Unless you're going to go down and buy some of the stuff from the store. Perfume or cologne or whatever. But I've seen people in the church. Right, Sister Russell? When their must is up, their mind is defined. Praise the Lord. And they're looking for somebody that's going to make them feel good. Good. Praise the Lord. And nobody can make you feel good. If Jesus hadn't made you feel good, and you claim you got the Holy Ghost, and you can't feel good with Jesus, I don't want to be having no relationship with you. Where's your Sister Lulu? No way? Yeah. Got to keep that mind. Sister Lulu told me that they told her the other day they want to send her to take some graduate courses from graduate school. that she had to pray for her sight. You understand? That's good news to me. Somebody tell you in the church, you don't need that. That gets you calm.
When you find something like that, send him down to Richmond. I want you to send him off and I'm down to Houston, South Carolina, so they can see Dr. Joseph and send him down to Ireland and burn there a fellow. Because, Sister Joseph, that is not going to hurt you.
Right.
Got to get rid of that. Work on this stuff and hold it out, Brother Tommy. Otherwise, they would have you in the corner back there. Understand? Trying to make them feel good. Understand, Brother Tommy? Yes. Okay, this is just a message short. Make sure you still awake on this. Trying to teach you because folks think they come to church to make you feel good. They want to make you miserable.
Tommy was not sent here to make you feel good. It's getting pretty quiet in this place. Hello. But Tommy might feel a whole lot better if you listen to this message this morning, so you won't make him feel good. Check with Sister Lou's antidote and let them keep finding things that she can do to make her feel better when she goes to school and improve her lifestyle. And then you want to get your mind all cluttered with a lot of junk and make me feel that folks come here needing a good dose of Jesus. And when you really come to the point that you need a good dose of Jesus, where do you come to find him? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You can find help. Some folks will use another, hallelujah, another means of getting a good dose of Jesus by trying to find it in the bedroom. The said room, the chat room, the dat room. There is no da-da-da-da.com in here. I'm come to unraise your calmness and to stir you up so you can feel your Jesus. Stay out the chat room. Stay out of that room. Come to this room. Go into the upper one till you be endued with power from on high. Praise the Lord. And then you won't feel so miserable later down the line. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I'll act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Buston said, well, maybe you and me in the past one will jump up and dip that damn in the other room. Praise the Lord. But I want you to know that you don't need a whole lot of this other kind of stuff that's going on. You just might meet the wrong person in the, on the line. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So don't get angry with me. You need to understand when Jesus sent them to that room, he was talking about the upper room. Hello. And he wanted them to stay right there until they get this is that. All right, hold on. Stay there until you get this. Because this is that. There come a hallelujah. But you don't need that which you got from this. These folks are there. You got a dish experience. Praise the Lord, and you didn't get too far. A lot of you are a lot more spiritual when you first came to church than when you are now there. I think I left your head and your mind, your heart, and everything cluttered with a lot of stuff. We ought to go back. We ought to seek the Lord. We ought to ask the Lord. We ought to ask Him to fix what's broken. Praise the Lord. We ask the Lord to help us. Praise the Lord, and help in and do it right early. Sister Hunt is in here. She's looking for something. And I believe we got what she needs. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. You don't need somebody to be sitting there talking all kind of crazy, unsatisfied, ungratified, looking for somebody that gives them a and a nice little quickie so they can live the rest of their life being miserable. Lord, have mercy. Since I found Jesus, there's been a mighty burning. Hallelujah. There's an impulse of sensation. Some of you have been here a little while longer than this time. Some of you just coming in earlier. I'm trying to give you the right insurance. You don't need another funny book to read to do things. Take some. Look, a lot of these psychology books ain't doing the psychologist any better. You got your head filled up with a lot of junk. You need your soul filled with Jesus. Now you need to learn how to make a living. But there are some things you don't need up there, praise the Lord, to get your mind all messed up. Because there are nothing but demons practicing on people for a source of money. And you come to church, it distracts you from what you need. But since I found Jesus, there's a burning, such a burning deep down within. Since I came to the church, somebody said I came to church one night and I didn't, heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me when I first came over here. I didn't have all the answers, and I didn't, still don't have all the answers. But somebody said, just kneel down here, brother Geddes, and said, why don't we just call him for a little while? And those old folks back there, we knelt down and we called him. And I didn't know what they were trying to do, and I wasn't down there looking with one eye open and one eye. I never find it that difficult like most people are finding it today to receive what God has for them. Praise the Lord. They just said, kneel down. And my mind wasn't in curve. Hallelujah. Clubbed up with things. So I said, what are they going to do for me? And I wondered what they're going to put on me. And how are they going to get this done for me? And then in Athos conscious. So we knelt down for a little while. And the Lord began to come in. This is called him. Hallelujah. Just as said, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I said, now, what's this all about? Because being from a Jehovahistic background, I didn't understand what calling Jesus was. Praise the Lord. So Sister Chestnut, I obeyed the old folks because I say they've been there a long time. They should know more. So they says, call Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I called Jesus. They said, I think you ought to call him just a little bit faster. Praise the Lord. And they weren't being nasty and they weren't being disrespectful. And I was crazy, so I believed. He said, call him just a little bit faster. Praise the Lord. So I said, Jesus, he said, a little bit faster. Praise the Lord. After a while, every now and then, they would say, hallelujah. And I thought that they wanted me to say hallelujah. I began to feel like I need to say what they were saying. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I can say it over right now. Praise, let somebody get to the calling on Jesus. And after a while, the person calling on Jesus will feel the anointing. And they will say, hallelujah. And you begin to move with the Spirit. And you'll feel the anointing. And your hallelujah begin to come. You begin to talk that angel talk. And hallelujah begin to change from Jesus, for the name of the Lord is a mighty strong power. The righteous runneth there and they are saved. You keep on calling Jesus. After a while, you'll find that that name will operate on you just like the Bible says. Praise the Lord. You begin to feel that ain't no harm calling on Jesus. Ain't no harm calling on the Lord. That's praise the Lord. I got saved. Got sanctified. What were you doing, brother? I was calling on Jesus. I got saved and I got sanctified. What were you doing, brother? I was calling on the Lord. Praise the Lord. And after a while, you get one hallelujah. Nobody has to deduct you off now. I hope you say, well, I say you should be able to make it from here. If you keep calling on Jesus long enough, your hallelujah would roll over and you begin to feel like say hallelujah and you begin to praise God. You begin to